Welcome to the Fangled Cast, brought to you by the folks at Fangled Group, the strategy-first marketing and sales consultancy helping take your company to the next level and beyond. We help our clients convert every touch into voracious advocates for their brand. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Fangled Cast. I am super excited today. And normally I get just excited, not super excited, but I have Brian Bashan with me, who's a relatively new friend, but somebody who I just really, really like and respect. And today we're going to dig into whether or not coaching is nonsense. Is it nonsense or isn't it? But before we dig into the topic, Brian, tell the folks in less than, you know, too much time, who you are, what you do, and we'll dig into the topic.
Excellent. Andrew, first of all, thanks so much for having me here today. It's great to be with you. I was so looking forward to our conversation and sharing this with your audience. So who is Brian Bashan, the life of Brian? I'm coming to you from Toronto. I'm an American citizen. I moved here from Manhattan 9 years ago. And so my company that I founded is called Evolution Evolution. It's named twice on purpose, not by mistake, like someone actually asked me about a couple months ago, which I thought was quite odd. And so Evolution Evolution, what does it stand for? The first evolution is a nod to who we are as humans, the natural evolution, the evolution, how a pandemic affects all of us. But the second evolution is the one we own, to be personally aligned and professionally so we can make the greatest impact on whatever business, whatever life we're leading. And so I founded that to bring together all of my expertise because my life has been an evolution. I was a Catholic priest for 8 years, 4 years in a parish, and then 4 years I was the private secretary, which is like chief of staff to a cardinal from the Vatican. And I freely resigned and went on to become an executive in New York City and in Toronto. And so my company kind of brings it all together. It has that spiritual inner work, the executive and the speaking. And that's where I spend my time and energy and helping people coach and also their businesses.
That's so great. By the way, I was going to call this podcast episode Life of Brian, but I figured the guys at Monty Python were going to sue me and, you know, we're not going to confront the people's front of Judea or the Judea's people's front in this episode, for those who know what that is.
So, you made the right call. You made a good call.
So let's talk a bit about coaching in general, because back in my day, when I worked as a therapist for a number of years after grad school and being in counseling, mm-hmm. There was an interesting thing that just sort of emerged back in those days, this thing called a life coach. Mm-hmm. And among the psychology community, the psychiatric community, and the medical community, life coach meant that guy that couldn't get into grad school. Mm-hmm. And many of the people that we saw were people that had been, for lack of a better word, confused. I don't want to say damaged by what they called life coaches. And really there's a lot of qualifications. So often now people come to me and they say, well, you know, I really think I need a business coach. I need this. How the heck do I find one? What am I going to get out of it? Because there's just so many offering me every day. And it seems like BS that this is a real thing. Mm-hmm. So with your you know, background, I know all of the education you had in the clergy. Tell me what you think people can actually get out of coaching. And I'll make this even a longer response from you. How does somebody find one who's actually qualified to coach?
Yeah, super great question. So I was in the same boat with you as well. Like I always thought coaching was kind of like a light version if you were really afraid to go to therapy, or what's the real impact there? And it was never something that I ever planned to develop mm-hmm. or move into. But I think, you know, it is a field that has evolved. You know, I think when it first started out with the life coaches, there was no regulatory body. There really wasn't a strong formation in educational aspect. But now many of the coaches that are there are certified. You know, I mean, I know for myself, there's an organization called the International Coaching Federation, which I'm a member. There's a regulatory aspect, so to speak. It's not a regulatory body specifically, but you know, you meet the guidelines, there's accreditations, there's trainings, et cetera. And really what it is, I find the gift of coaching is what really makes it successful is when someone says they're a coach, are they tapping into their expertise? That's the difference. So I think there are coaches that have been really brilliant, successful, or those that have been maybe in the financial services that have now gone out, instead of being a consultant, they're able to take that expertise and to work with individuals or organizations to help guide them, to really help them think through aspects that they personally have experienced. So that's where coaching is very beneficial, with training and accreditation, but also tapping into their expertise.
When you say their expertise, you mean the coach's expertise or the client's expertise?
You know, I would say, well, first of all, it's important that the coach tap into their expertise. You know, I think where a lot of coaches are kind of like all over the place is they're following a formula that they think they should be doing. And that's why people get overwhelmed, like, where do I even begin to start to look for someone? Because they're all the same. It's like a real estate agent. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's all the same, but what sets one apart? Well, what sets someone apart is when they are really able to own and into their who they are, what they bring that sets them apart differently. And that can be background.
Yeah, I had a conversation, I'm going to say it was 2 weeks ago. I lose track of time. Things move so quickly these days. But someone who said to me, you know, I got this private message from this coach who thinks that they can help me with something. They don't even know me. And based on the photo and based on the background, I don't think they're even 25 years old. What the hell? And I'm curious your thoughts on these folks that have yet to really have life experience who think that somehow they're ready to be coaching folks.
Yeah. So you just press the button on Brian here that's like, boom. You know, I have one of the things I have the hardest time with are these coaches that, you know, I'm highly active on LinkedIn and, you know, and I love it. I built a great community. I know you are as well. And so many were listening that talk about executive coaching, but they've never been an executive.
Yeah.
You know, like they talk about, oh, I could help you in the executive and pressure. And I'm like, you know what? Unless you've had to manage a P&L, unless you've had to manage a team, unless you've had a financial number next to you, unless you've reported to a board, you know, you don't know what it's like to be an executive. So yeah. I think that's a big credibility that I think when someone is going to resonate is they do want to look at your experience. Not that all coaches have to be of a certain age, but I think there is an expertise in knowing when you're not the expert and stepping away from that.
You know, it's funny. That exact response, with the exception of a couple of words, was the response. Mm-hmm. And this young coach responded, well, I know cancer surgeons that have never had cancer. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, okay. But cancer is a skill set of following certain procedures that are clear cut in doing that. You're not coaching the cancer away. You're going in there and you're following very specific steps and things like that. You don't have to have cancer to have it. I don't have to have had a baby go through me if I wanted to be an obstetrician. Right. But if I want to truly relate to someone and especially in the complexity of a C-level position, and I've never worked in a company, unless I'm helping them coach with a specific task that I have a skill set for, like how to communicate better, how to be more emotionally there, those kinds of things, you're not qualified.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the areas that I work mostly with professional leaders. I work a lot with individuals who are new CEOs that, you know, who are highly driven, but now they're in a new position, maybe reporting to a board for the first time, a team. And, you know, they're individuals that, you know, want to make an impact, you know what I mean, in during that transition. So, you know, that's an area. But another area of individuals that, you know, have hired me quite a bit are physicians, those in healthcare. And it's interesting, you know, that that's been a big area. And I think one of the reasons is, and I'm always clear about that, is after leaving the clergy, I worked in the world that was healthcare, you know? So I understand, I worked with so many physicians. A former partner of mine had been a physician, you know, I worked exclusively, you know, in that healthcare space. So I have a deep understanding, the political aspects, you know, how their minds think. But I always tell them up front, you know, I'm not a physician, but I have a pretty deep understanding of your life. But I think one of the reasons they like to engage with me is because I understand their world and I can help them look at it in a new way. That's, yep, you know, in a different way. So, but you have to know your, you have to know what you're about. You have to know your value,
your life experience. I jokingly said at the end of that conversation, I said, you know, I think that I'm going to open up a coaching service designed to coach people who shouldn't be coaching to not coach.
Yeah, exactly.
And that would be, you know, it'd be very quick sessions. Cut it out. Give me $10. Cut it out.
Yeah, the other thing I get a huge kick out on is on LinkedIn, all these people that are coaches, but they also have companies to help coaches make 6-7 figures, grow your company, da da da. Or they all say they have these. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, if you really are that successful, you don't have to just put it in neon lights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it sounds a little desperate to me that you have to keep saying all of this. So coaching is a valid, you know, area. You have to make it your own. And that's what I tell coaches who are there. I said, make this your own. Bring your expertise and highlight that.
Yeah. And there's, I think that there's a fine line that gets missed. And tell me if you're in agreement, but there are coaches to specific issues that are business related in terms of the structure of your business and how to do it, like finance and how to be a better marketer, and coaching on how to build and this kind of, and then there are coaches that are truly more mindset and emotional coaches that aren't there to help you with those other things. And I think those folks are the ones that sometimes miss more often in terms of their ability to help, because they're kind of pretending to be psychologists without the training.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, one of the things I'll tell the clients I work with, I say, listen, you know, I'm not a therapist. Mm-hmm. And you know, I own that right up front. However, sometimes the work we do together will feel therapeutic, because even though we're talking about, you know, you're running an asset management company, or you're a CEO and you want things to grow, it always comes back to you. And how are you going to be tapping into your leadership where you're at? So sometimes it's very inward. So it feels therapeutic, but it's not. I think one of the things about coaching that can be great is it is a wonderful way to shine light into some areas that you may be blind to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a really big thing. So I got hired, I'll share this one story, and this is, you know, interesting. Cool. I got hired by this woman that I know. I knew her, and she was a very, very successful CEO, publicly traded, you know, $1 billion+ company, had decided to step away and look at new opportunities. And so she connected with me. And so she said, you know, I have opportunities to work with some big coaching, well-established companies. But she knew me, and she said, what's the difference if I work with you than the other big companies? And so I knew that was my moment, and yet a small window to pitch. And I said, it's really easy. It's two things. To work with me is the following. I do not see a separation of personal and professional, that who you are as a person, your strengths, all of your core values, et cetera, will directly impact how you live and lead as a professional. Mm-hmm. Second, as CEO, you are so used to having everyone say yes to you. And I'm not going to be afraid to shine the light and to also challenge you when you need to be challenged. And that's, she hired me. And actually, you know, that was one of the differences, that I'm, you know, extremely focused and attentive, but that's why I'm there. I kind of see it like, I'm like the lighthouse, you know, guiding you in. And it's up to you whether or not you want to follow that light to come along the shore and watch out. Yep. But I'll always, in a very respectful manner, always show you what needs to be if you're having a hard time seeing that.
I'm going to back up a sec, because there's something interesting that I want to ask a first question before I ask the second one. Among the clergy, especially in the Catholic Church or otherwise, do clergymen, do priests, when they're working with and counseling their parishioners, the people in their church, do they feel like they have training to actually be doing therapy, or do you see it in a different light when you're in that position?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when you're in the seminary, you know, it's so funny, especially the last couple of years, you have all these classes of trainings, and one of them is called pastoral counseling. And it's really intense training that you go through of, you know, the dynamics of working with individuals, how to listen to them, you know, how to make referrals, when to know what's pastoral counseling and when you need to make referrals. And so I have to say, when I was a priest and I was there and people would make appointments, I felt comfortable. Oftentimes I was the starting place. Mm-hmm. You know, they might have a deeper issue, but they just felt comfortable for whatever reason to come to me to kind of bring it out to the light. And then oftentimes they would then go see a professional, mm-hmm. you know, or sometimes they would still see a professional, but they wanted maybe like a spiritual insight on whatever they were working for. So for myself, I did feel comfortable and it was interesting. It was actually probably one of my favorite classes in the seminary. And I remember for our final exam, we had to go to another student who was a couple of years behind our, you know, I was in the last year, a couple of years behind us. And we had to go, we had to tell them, they had to pretend they were a parishioner making an appointment. And we had to be in a room, we had a camera, and they were supposed to be coming in for an appointment. I had no idea what the issue was going to be.
Yeah.
And I had to be videoed of how to deal with that kind of counseling session and interview. And I remember the professor told me later, he said, a couple of years later, he says, I still use your video, Brian. You know what I mean? For things. So I loved it. There's something about it. I love listening. I think when people come in, especially executives or different things, I'm just able to kind of just create the space to help them put things out because we control so much inside.
Yeah, from your response now, yeah. I can kind of insinuate that one of your competitive advantages over many of the other people who coach is the amount of training that you had at the clergy level, not necessarily as a therapist, mm-hmm. but as someone who has those special techniques, experience, and skills to make that connection faster to get to mm-hmm. the crap that has to be dealt with.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that is probably, I think the two points that I have is that, you know, my personal story, which does resonate, it does draw in, you know, especially if they're feeling in a moment of transition or if they're, you know, there's something there and having been, you know, an executive myself and how they're at. So yeah, that definitely, it definitely is there. And it's something that's really important.
Yeah, when I was in grad school in the practicum, which is they free therapy to the community.
Okay.
So in the way that it was set up, we're in soundproof rooms with an earbud. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a camera, and this is, you know, pre-internet. So it was, you know, if you could see the person on the camera, you were really good. But so there was a guy who was a therapist in the other room, and you were conducting therapeutic sessions. And if that person thought that you were off base or that there was something you're not getting at, you had this third voice, you know, in your head. Mm-hmm. And needless to say, the folks that show up at the university for free therapy are probably more, what's the word, robust than the typical client you would get in your private practice. Mm-hmm. So the preparation of just being in the room with those folks with severe issues in their lives. And now I take that skill set to businesses where, I mean, I've walked into the room with a CEO that's so ornery that the employees are afraid to look him in the eye. Mm-hmm. And this guy somehow has been convinced that he needs help with his business.
Right. So, life experiences impact our work, absolutely, hands down.
Yeah, I've had the discussion many times, and I stand my ground, and I think you're on board. It is impossible to coach to a specific skill set that you know nothing about.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, you know, there are different. There's enough to go around for everybody.
Yeah,
you know. But if you're looking for a coach, especially from my perspective, especially the people I love to work with are people who are professional leaders that really believe that their work is a mission. It's not just work. Even if they want, you know, there's nothing the matter with that. You want the company to be successful. If you want to make a lot of money, you know, there's nothing the matter with that. But they're individuals that really have a mindset that they want to have an incredible impact on the lives of their employees, mm-hmm. to also engage with their clients in a different way, to be forward thinking. That's why it's called evolution.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? We have to evolve. Those are the leaders I love to work with. You know, how are they making the impact? So and at the same time to support them. You know what I mean? Because every leader is isolated, especially at the most senior level.
Yep. I have a weird technique that sometimes gets criticism when I'm looking to bring someone on board, whether it's a PR person, marketing person, or even if I was going to talk to a coach about coaching me in business. I ask this question: how many people have you turned down because you didn't think you could help? And if the answer is none, I run. Because anyone who thinks they can help everybody needs a coach to learn that's not the case.
Yeah. And the other thing is too, it's also as a coach, from my perspective, I don't want to keep you as a client, you know, forever. Like my role is not to, oh, we do this program and oh, then you have to be there. No, my role, my mission is to help you, whatever that moment is, and then, you know, let you go, and to go forward. It doesn't mean we can't touch base another point, but you know, these people, I don't think it's healthy when I hear cultures, oh, they've renewed me. They've had me for 6 years. Well, in my opinion, you're not a good coach.
Yeah.
if they keep coming to you for 6 years and it's not the growth.
Yeah. If it's 6 years down the road, I have to decide whether that was a coaching relationship or a parasitic relationship. I got my claws into your wallet and I'm not letting go because you pay your bills and I want you. It's the same in the one of my issues with a lot of the marketing agencies and even consultants out there is that they look for engagements always that are long term. And to me, it's almost a form of laziness. I'm just as happy that somebody who's having a difficult time with their marketing, for example, to buy an hour of time and really just rake me over the coals to get through that hour to get to a solution and we move on. I'm just as happy to do one of those as let's dig in, let's do the interviews, let's do the research, let's do all of that. Because it's a balance of all of those that are beneficial to my market and beneficial to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the best way to approach it. It's funny. I mean, with one of my, the most popular package I do is, you know, it's called Enlightenment Evolution. It's 3 months, it's 10 sessions, it's three times a month for 9 months. And then 3 months after we, like 90 days later, I do another session with them. You know, I call it like an evolution tune-up. But I purposely have done that because the real work takes place after you finish. It's yes, during, but that's why you need that space. It doesn't mean you can't do something else several months later or a year later, but to just keep going and going and going, that's an issue.
Yeah, it seems to me that people that have high dependencies on their coach need to find a coach to get over their dependency issue.
Yeah, and so it's a little truth to that. Probably some truth to that.
Yeah, so we're kind of on the edge of our time belt here, but I always like to ask, what didn't I ask you that people should really know? What question didn't I ask that I should have asked?
You know, probably, you know, what's it like to work with me? And how does it work? So I think, you know, if someone's out there who's listening, it's like, yeah, you know, I've thought about coaching or my company is always mentioning it. You know, if it's something that it keeps coming to you, you know, be open to it. Be open to it. For me, what I love and the way I work with individuals is, you know, I really see that that time we spend together should be a moment that you feel supported, that you also feel that whatever stress you're under to help manage that, and that you really have a clear ROI. And that's something I ask at the very beginning. At the end of these 3 months, what is the ROI that you want to have on this? Where do you want to be? And I think that's something I really hold clear. And it doesn't mean that that may not shift and change along the way, but I'm very clear about the intention from the beginning. And it really makes a difference. And I think that's why clients have a success rate, because we hold true to that and be open to that. But it's a relationship, right? You have to own it as well. So I think for me, if there's anyone that's at a moment, they're trying to think what to do, connect. Happy to have an open conversation, not a sales pitch, but really see what's next for you and where you need to go.
Yeah, it strikes me that coaching is completely pointless if you don't know where you want to be at the end of the coaching.
Yeah, exactly.
Know the problem you want to solve and what the world would look like in the state after you've gotten through that and onto your next step.
Yeah, or at least go in saying, I'm struggling with this. I'm not even sure if that's really what it is. You know, a lot of times it's people that are like, oh, I'm struggling with my job. Do I want to stay? Do I want to go? Which usually I hear that all the time. It's usually a bigger issue underneath of either feeling not respected, kind of feeling burnt out, not valued. And once we deal with some of those things, that's where the clarity comes about the job as well. So
It's also a great song by The Clash.
There you go. There you go. It's a win-win. It's a win-win on that one.
Should you stay or go? Do both. What the heck? I just want to say again how absolutely delighted I am to have you on the show and to have met. And I know there'll be lots of conversation and great stuff in the future. If one of my wonderful listeners, except that one guy, he's kind of a pain. If the good ones want to reach out to you, how do they find you?
The good and the bad can reach out to me. So the best two ways, highly active on LinkedIn. So you can send me a message, say that you heard this conversation on the podcast here, send me a message and you will hear back from me. Second, you can also reach out through my website, which is evolutionevolution.com. You can send me a direct message there as well. And welcome to hear from anyone.
Fantastic. Well, if you're a regular listener or the first time you've heard the FangleCast, always an opportunity to subscribe, share, comment, rude gesture here and there. We welcome it all. Thanks so much for listening. Brian was a great guest. We've got other great guests coming up, and we've got great guests that we've had in the past. So check out our YouTube page, FangleCast. And also, I think we're on almost every audio location that you can find. So please join us again on the next FangleCast. Thanks so much, Brian.
What a pleasure, Andrew. All the best.
The FangleCast is brought to you by the great people at the Fangled Group, where we help you convert every touch into voracious advocates for your brand.